Come and gather up your links. All the things you thought were red. Couple things you thought stink. And you sort them all out. Like paper slips in your lap. It's time to lay it down. It's time to record another metaphor podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to episode 144 of the Metafilter Monthly Podcast. I am Josh Cortex Millard.
And I'm Jessamine.
A.K.A. Guest Go. still working out this podcast interface thing we're using.
TriCast.
Yeah. TriCast, yes.
For people who are curious.
Or tricad.st, if you want to get explicit about the clever domains. No. So how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, summer's wrapping up.
It is.
I'm about to, you know, shift over from being 7x7 to being, you know, 5x4x2?
I'm not following.
Shit. My birthday's next week. And so.
Oh, right.
And that's actually been going pretty well. I just finished a little project of my own, because otherwise you just sit around and you're like, oh God, what am I going to, do something? What's happening? What have I done with my life? And I'm pretty good at not doing that, but I figured I'd do something to keep myself busy. And so I did like a 50x50 project where I sent out 50 letters and postcards by my 50th birthday. So that's what I've been doing this month. I've been making, I don't know if I was doing this last month when we talked, that I've been making like little envelopes out of an atlas. Does that ring a bell?
I remember you had been doing that previously at some point. I don't know if we talked about it more recently.
I figure we might have just talked about it on Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, at any rate, so I just, you know, made a bunch of note cards with, you know, bubble stuff and sugar and a straw, and made envelopes out of an old atlas, and, you know, sent people kind of content free. Hey, here's the thing. And that was nice. But it, you know, it kept me busy in between helping out at Metafilter while you were on vacation and, you know, dealing with this unbearable weather. So how was your vacation?
It was good. And thank you for the card. I got one of those cards from you.
Oh, that's right. You and Angela.
Yeah. And Angela noted that we could date roughly the age of the wrapping you used, because you used like a page of some like large...
An old atlas.
Yeah, an old atlas that had like a list of various, you know, notable volcanoes around the world.
Yes!
And she noted that, like, well, this must have been before 1980, because you look at it in the Pacific Northwest, it's got Lassen Peak.
Right.
Which, you know, if I guess if you pay attention to volcanoes, oh yeah, Lassen Peak. But what it doesn't have is Mount St. Helens. And if you're making a map after 1980 of notable volcanoes in the Pacific Northwest, you're not going to go with Lassen Peak. You know, that's
I said it because we had to you guys. I tried to pick for most people, like, you know, atlas pages that would be interesting. And we had just had a trivia question about Krakatoa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, which I did not get.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, you know, I mean, trivia is a struggle, right? Like, I love it, but it makes me feel just a little stupid every day, you know?
Yeah, yep. It's a weird sort of.
How's Angela? How's Angela doing? For some reason, what's she in?
She is in somewhere else. I don't remember the name of her rundle.
I'll look her up.
I think she's doing slightly better than I am, but we've both had sort of like low performing starts for the season.
Oh, so she's in E. So she's in a lower rundle, but she's doing better.
Yeah.
And you are in a higher rundle and doing worse.
Yes. I'm pleased today to not any longer be literally the last in the rundle, which I've been sitting at for
Well, if you have a last name that starts with W, you start at the bottom of the rundle every single time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it is. At any rate, enough trivia talk.
Yeah.
Vacation
was great.
So what did you guys do? You flew out to the East Coast and something.
Yeah, we flew out to other Portland, and we got a rented VW camper van, a 1986 Westfalia Vanagon.
I saw the pictures. It looked pretty fun.
It was pretty fun. It was a nice little thing. And we drove around coastal Maine for a few days. You know, we went to a couple different campsites. Lobsterman was actually in Maine at the same time.
Aww.
And so we managed to drop by and hang out with her a little bit.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, that was very nice. It was nice for me to see her again. It was nice for Angela to be able to meet her in the first place.
Oh, they hadn't met. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been like internet friends for a decade now.
Sure, but you live on opposite coasts. So.
Exactly. So,
well, and I've only met Lobstermitten once, so yeah. Yeah.
So that was great. And did some nice camping, saw some cool stuff in Maine. We went to West Quoddy Head, the easternmost point of the United States.
It will not surprise you to know I have been there.
Yeah. Why posted a Flippy there for a Cold Chef, and then Boncliffe was like, oh, I did the same thing 2 years ago, and posted a picture of himself sending a Flippy to Cold Chef. So
you know, there may be
nice
one of me,
reference.
Too. We actually stayed in that lighthouse station up there. Not in the
really?
Lighthouse station, but the little place that's up there. Yeah, because on a vacation with my mom and wanted like a place that was like big yet cheap. And yeah, easternmost point in the U.S. Super fun.
Nice.
And so this was with your family, brother? Who had the sweet camper or the trailer?
The camper van we actually rented from a guy who just rents camper vans.
But you took a picture of somebody who had a trailer.
Oh, let's see. There was my friends Roger and Emily had a rented pull it on a truck trailer that they just rented that just got delivered to the campsite, which is amazing. So instead of like renting an RV and driving it in, they got a trailer for much cheaper that they just showed up, and the guy showed up with the trailer and said, here's your trailer for a week.
And you just get to stay in it?
Yeah.
The future is amazing.
My friend Sean and Carrie own a little tab.
That
trailer.
Was the thing.
That's a cute one.
That looks amazing.
Yeah, it's adorable. And probably about as much space as the VW camper van, while also being more modern, having a functioning little toilet, and being able to, be towed behind something that has an actual motor in it. The camper van was really fun. It was really neat, and I've like never spent any time with one. Like the only time I've ever spent with one of those was briefly when PB came to a camping trip years ago, and he had just gotten himself a Vanagon.
Well, and he motors in that thing, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's a serious camper.
Yeah. And so like I think of him as like the camper van guy that I know. But it's a neat little ride. It worked surprisingly well as a place to live for a couple weeks essentially. It was nice not to have to futz with tents. It was nice that when it was like wet out, you just could go inside instead of having to worry about tarping and like everything getting wet.
Right.
And it was fun to drive. It was kind of a so this was my first time really driving a stick.
Oh God, really? Like, it's a stick shift?
Yeah. Like they made some automatic transition Vanagons, I guess, but the vast majority are manual.
Somehow I did not know that. Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, and so it wasn't literally my first time driving stick, because before we went over there, we on a couple different days rented someone's car from them for like an hour on some Airbnb but for cars kind of service in town. And,
what?
A few people had stick shifts. And so we went
what?
And got someone's car and drove around. And Angela's like, okay, so this is the order of operations with the stick and the clutch and the brakes and the rationale. And
oh, my God. I learned when I was 16. I could not – I don't think I could learn as a grown-up.
It wasn't too bad. It was kind of like I was keenly aware that I was not good at this and that
sure.
I was suddenly had gotten very bad at what had previously been a totally solid life skill I had,
Well, and you learned to drive what? Like sometime in the last decade, right?
Yeah. Like we bought a hatchback like in 2011, 2012. And like that was when essentially my driving experience started. Like I had a permit and driven a little bit, but I hadn't like been a driver before that.
Sure.
And now I'm super duper comfortable with it. But I'm also like after the last couple of weeks, much more keenly aware of how nice of a vehicle our Mazda 3 is. Like just a modern manual automatic transition car with like a peppy engine and like everything's responsive.
Well, and those VWs were always underpowered. Like that was just their thing.
Sure.
I mean, fortunately, Maine doesn't have any real hills to speak of.
Yeah, there's nothing real worrying. Like the hardest thing for me was like just the cold starts on a hill. Like every once in a while, the hardest thing at first was just like starting period, like managing to like make that clutch in first gear, give it the gas, lay out the clutch,
go
transition.
Forward, keep the car running.
So I stalled the thing a few times on the first day or two, but by the end of the trip, I was like, oh, I kind of like it's not natural yet, but like it's not, I'm not constantly thinking through every step. Like I'm actually sort of driving along and got used to like, you know, okay, I'm coming to a hill. I'm just going to give it the goose right now because I need that to get up and over and, you know, getting a sense of when to change gears and managing to get comfortable enough with it that I was the guy on the highway puttering along behind somebody like, come on, dude, hurry the fuck up.
You know, you're not the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of nice. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then the camping was just, yeah, it was like we tooled around for a few days on our own. Then we met up with friends at Sebago Lake and yeah, my brother and a bunch of college friends, cause he moved out to the East Coast after I went to school on the East Coast. He moved out there later. And so, you know, he hangs out with my
stole all your friends.
Yeah. The jerk. but it works out very well. And yeah, so we get to see them basically, you know, if nothing else, we see them once a year doing that. And that's really nice.
Good.
And then I got like a cold on the way home, and so I've just been like a
well.
A
you guys
human
got like stuck, in,
an,
stuck in an airport, right? Like,
yeah.
Did you wind up getting home that night?
Like, yeah, we got yeah. Like I think about the last time I complained online on Slack or whatever. About 15 minutes later, we actually got underway, so it wasn't too bad. But it was like it was still we were sitting on the tarmac in a hot plane. For like an hour and a half in 95 degree Washington,
and you're
DC
coming
weather.
Down with something.
Yeah. And like, you know, I sort of put it together after like, oh, I was even more uncomfortable than I was. Cause yeah. Okay. So I'm still kind of in the throes of that, but I'm going to try and sort of like cheerfully just be here instead of
you're
just saying,
doing
oh,
great. Yeah. Jim's been like working through some crud and you know, he was like, there was like a lady from work who like came into work, like, I'm okay, you know, and Jim's like, dude, fucking stay home. Like, that is the worst. And she's like, I've got too much work to do. And so, you know, he comes down with stuff. And like, part of what I sort of coached him through was like, how do you go back to your office and tell the lady who comes to work sick, you were sick for a week because she had, quote, too much work to do, unquote.
Yeah.
Because he's like worried she's going to be mad at him and turn it into a thing. And I'm like, you should turn it into a thing. Like, I'd be fucking pissed. And so he was sick for a week. They had a talk. It went well, of course. But then he rallied for like 3 days and now he's like got a cold again. And I feel bad for the guy because like we have plans, you know, like we're going to go see the Paw Sox. We're going to like go eat Brazilian food. I'm going bowling for my birthday when I get back to Vermont. Like we have an itinerary and he's just, man, he's not feeling it right now. So we're trying to, you know, be like, it's going to be fine. Like, let's just not think about it right now. I guess I can always just hang out with my sister. Not that I don't love her too, but like she's part of it, you know, not all of it.
Did you decide to purchase some fancy hot dogs in the end?
You know, in the end, we decided not to do anything. I decided to do the kind of postcard project that I'm doing that Jim's been kind of pinging people about, like, hey, send Jessamine a postcard for her birthday. So it's going to be a very kind of passive birthday experience. And then Jim and my sister and I are going to like see a baseball game with some friends, have, you know, a meal and cake with some friends, and then just do like a little thing every day for a week, basically, with like different sets of people from around here and not from around here. Like, I just decided I didn't want to do a big thing, like, and became okay with it, and then was like, all right, then. If I don't want to do a big thing, I'm going to do the thing I want to do. So we'll probably have hot dogs here. Because
nice.
I did have a conversation with my sister, like, when you said no hot dogs became the only thing I wanted for my birthday. And she laughed because, of course, right? Like, she's on my side. But it was kind of funny because that is kind of part of it, right? That she's got very strong opinions about how you do things. And I mostly don't. I just want to hang out with people I like and have a good time. We may put on our animal heads and go to the beach and like hand out ice cream sandwiches to children.
This would be the best story of how you got arrested on your birthday. I'm 100%
you know,
behind this.
I have never been arrested. Like my whole, I've been with other people who have gotten arrested. I've been taken in because I didn't have a ride home when the people I was with got arrested. But I've never actually gotten arrested, which is interesting. So maybe it's time.
Maybe. Well, good. You want to tell me anything about the number 144?
You know,
besides how gross it is. Sorry, I've been waiting 144 episodes for that.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't get that at first. I was like, what? What? Is it a number for some bugs? Oh, God, Josh. I'm like your straight person forever. Like, the what now?
It's you even know? Better when I've got a cold because I'm like so delighted I pulled off anything here. So,
well, nice work. No, you know, 144 is kind of your standard 12 times 12. It also is the number of tiles in a Mahjong game, which I found kind of interesting. And it's got tons of math stuff, of course. You know, it's the 12th Fibonacci number. It's the largest Fibonacci number that's a square. You know, some Toyshan nonsense. But in general, it's all right.
All right.
Yeah.
144. There it is.
And then the article on Wikipedia says it may contain indiscriminate, excessive, or irrelevant examples. All right. That was worth showing up for.
All right. Let's discuss for a moment, if you will, the subject of jobs.
Sure. There's a couple jobs. One of them I particularly like is Miko doing an activism side project, wants someone to do a little graphic for some buttons or stickers. She'll pay $50. Shouldn't take too long. If she still wants it, you should get in touch with her because it's probably something cool in addition to probably a job someone who's good with graphics could do.
Yeah. But there's also, yes, I like
typing.
Yes, the typing one. There's a typing one. If you can type, boy, have we got a job for you.
Or Crooked Neighbor has a job for you because Crooked Neighbor is a writer. Crooked Neighbor needs to not be as much of a typer. If you have Microsoft Word and can type, you should talk to Crooked Neighbor.
There's also a model my hypothetical kitchen from Novalis DT.
We have somebody that does that. Like, I just remember once on Ask Metafilter, or maybe it was even MetaChat, I was asking some question about my idiot kitchen, and somebody contacted me on the back and was like, hey, I do professional kitchen design for a job. Like, if you want me to just give you some ideas,
well, nice.
I would do that. Now I have to figure out who that is, though. Or if you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, this person will flip you $100 if you can give them some ideas. In fact, why don't I search my email for kitchen? That should work just fine.
There's also a senior mobile developer listing from Adrian Hahn, which is like, hey, they make good stuff.
Probably a good project.
Yeah. So you should definitely get on that if that's your deal, because it'd be rad to do some stuff with Adrian.
I use the word kitchen all the time is what I've just discovered about myself.
Is that your like nickname for all kinds of things?
I don't know, but I didn't get off of 2018 in my first 50 emails that used the word kitchen.
Okay,
oh, and here's an email from you with a link to this discussion.
Kitchen. How often do I say kitchen? Well, see, and this is tricky because I got to make sure it's not just listing like Metafilter posts mention kitchen.
Yeah. I know your kitchen. You got to know your kitchen.
I don't say kitchen nearly as often as you, even if I pretend that like all this stuff that's spam in here is real email. So, I don't know.
I spend a lot of time in my kitchen. I also write a lot of email.
Yeah, that could be part of it. I don't do a whole lot of like random non-business email these days. Like less than I used to. Like, I mean, I still email with friends now and then, but like a lot of it is via other channels or whatnot. Like most of my friends who I keep up with via like Slack or talk on like, you know, like maybe DMs or just text with.
You know, so, yeah, I think majority of my kind of friendly conversations still happen in email. That's interesting. A lot of like minor bullshit in Twitter and Facebook.
Sure.
But
yeah, I didn't realize that. Also, maybe we just never talk about kitchens. You want to talk about projects?
I do.
A project is a kind of a kitchen is a kind of. Let's start. Let me come in again. You want to talk about projects?
Sure. DMG did this really cool graphic novel that is called Destination Mars, and it's 177 pages, and it's all up on Medium, a free thing on Medium. So if you're one of those people who uses up all your Medium articles like the very first day, and I'm kind of captivated by if you're looking at this. Hold on, I'll just put the link in. Like the pictures, he does a thing that makes it look like it's 3D. Like they're just smears, right? if you look at like the third picture, it's got a bunch of little stars in it, but he smears them in a way that they look like little shadows, and it gives this thing, which is otherwise pretty, you know, XKCD style drawing, like this weird depth that I just, for whatever reason, fell in love with.
Yeah, that's nice. There's also, a floating graveyard of cubes, so, you know.
Hey.
It's nice.
Yeah, I just like it, and I think Medium is actually kind of a neat thing for that. But if you want it on an ebook, you can get it on iTunes or Amazon. David's also on Patreon. So that was the first thing that jumped out of me from projects.
There was a nice
here is the actual project link.
Animation thing from I've got the wrong link too. From Dame. It's involved in a live coding collective, and this is a thing she did some animation for.
Starts out soothing
and ends in Lisa Frank madness, which seems like a fairly reasonable
is Lisa
summary.
Frank like the sticker lady,
yeah, like the unicorns and rainbows and shit.
Whoa. Oh yeah, that's cool. Neat.
But yeah,
not a lot of projects. I mean,
you know, it feels like basically everybody took August off is kind of how it feels, which works out well since I did too, essentially. So, you know, it's
I was around here being like, hey, where is everybody?
Yeah, we had to cover during the period of the summer where we probably just could have had you not. It's like, it'll be fine for 8 hours at a time. We'll just leave it alone.
It was actually pretty interesting. One of the things I don't know if I was going to mention this or not, but one of the things that was interesting about filling in some shifts is that Metafilter seems busier in like a good way than it did the last time I filled in, like at length, which I think was either this time last year or maybe holiday time.
Yeah.
Like there just seems like there's a little bit more going on. There's a little bit more email and people being interactive. The mega threads aren't just like this like black hole that kind of sucks in all the other site activity, which I know was like a goal you guys had last year.
Yeah.
But it really seems like, as someone who only checks in, I mean, I use the site obviously, but as someone who only checks in sometimes, I feel like it's going really well. So
I've had that same feeling too. You know, I'm like, I joke about August off, but it's more like it feels like people are like not trying to like get things done because it's,
they're
getting like people are on vacation, kids are getting ready to go back to school, stuff like that. But it's felt nice. It's felt like, stuff's going on and that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, yeah. And in a good, healthy way, people seem to be dealing with the slightly more active pruning of the mega threads in a good way. There's other political posts that are going all right. Everybody's not yelling about everything all the time. It feels like, it was just good.
Yep. Another project I am delighted to see come up. Psyatrix put together the poster about singing mice, because that had come up when we did – I made that post saying, hey, projects is good and everybody should do it more, and here's – let's clarify the rules to make it clear. You can put all kinds of stuff up there. And Psyatrix had been like, well, like a scientific poster. I was like, yes. So singing mice.
Oh, my God. This is great. You know, I should put up my 50 by 50 project.
You totally should. You absolutely should.
And it's at Tweeting Mouse on Twitter. I mean, I'm just reading that from the poster.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. It's got like a crazy picture. And you can learn some stuff about singing mice. I love it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed, in terms of Jessamine Bate, this post by... can't pronounce this name. Vesihisi?
Sure.
From Gothenburg, who did a tweetbot called Commons Time, and all it does is post freely licensed photographs of clocks. The end.
Nice.
You can follow at Commons Time, and you can look at pictures of clocks, and good. And I like looking at pictures of clocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've come across several projects recently that are sort of like this isn't necessarily as thoroughly in that vein, but basically cataloging, like, specimens of every bit of like time in some context, like film clocks or literature clocks or video game clocks. There's a video game clock.
It may be one of those things they teach you to do in like computer school. You know, like I remember the one that was like the human clock, which was all people holding their arms up, I think, to be different. But you can basically go. So now I've got to figure it out. Yeah. You go to humanclock.com and you, That's not a clock. That's just, oh, I see. And it's just photographs that have the number that is the time.
Yeah, exactly. This sort of thing. And it's interesting because it becomes this project of crowdsourcing the identification of specimens. Like, you know, like any given photo on this page is not necessarily going to be all that interesting. Like, I'm looking at a picture of a guy holding up a handwritten sign that says 1034 in front of like a perspective painting mural on a wall. It's like, it's fine. Like, hey, it's kind of neat. Who's this random guy? And that's a nice painting back there. But it's also just some image. Like, there's nothing super meaningful about this. But the fact that you need to find, you know, what is it, 60 times 24 or 60 by 12 at least, different specimens just to have a fully stocked clock. And then you end up with, you know, people come up with like a dozen for any given number. And it's just a neat exercise in collecting material for what is otherwise a very straightforward idea of like, okay, well, we've got.
Right, because it's what, like 1,400 things, right?
I mean, something like that.
How many minutes?
I think it might be 1,440.
I think it is. Hey!
I love this thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Aw.
But if they don't distinguish AM, PM, it's only 7:20. So now we're making skateboarding jokes. I really.
I'm not making a skateboarding joke. Well, 7:20 is what?
It's like two full revolutions. There's also a skateboarding video game called 7:20. I'm laughing because I'm remembering a thing that you weren't there for. So like the best kind of possible podcasting. But when we were at
my
the
favorite.
Lake, when we were camping at the lake, we're hanging out at the beach. And one day some kids were like spinning around the water. And one of their parents said, okay, do a 7:20. And kid didn't get the reference and didn't understand what it was. But he understood that there was like a number in spinning. And so for the next 15 minutes, like these four or five random kids I don't know, are just like shrieking about, okay, now I'm going to do a 270. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a 730. I'm going to do a 286 no scope. And like, this has turned into some sort of strange, these kids are just completely free forming. Oh, so you shout numbers and you spin around. Okay, let's throw in some Fortnite lingo and we're all set. So yes, anyway, that was a clocks, in other words, is in summary.
Yeah, and if anybody listening to this can remember what the clock is that maybe are human beings actually holding their arms in the way – it's a very difficult thing to Google. In whatever the time is, you go to a website and you see a person who's holding their arms in a way. I think that's a thing.
Let's try human semaphore clock.
Ooh.
Because that's not really quite right, but it's like, you know.
Ooh.
I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just getting pictures of actual semaphore, which is fair. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway.
At any rate, I know it's a thing, and I like clocks. The end.
Yes. Also, Airships is out. Zarkonnen's been working on a game called Airships Conquer the Skies for quite a while now, and it's out. It's actually out for reals, and you can buy it on Steam and everything. And that's super cool. So, congratulations, Zarkonnen.
Mahdi has done a Firefox extension that blocks social media sites for people who need a thing like that. It's also a GPL license, so you can, use it, block certain things, not block other things. You can turn the blocking off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I found I have a little app that just tells me when 45 minutes has gone by, and I find it's really helpful for getting me to be like, stop what you're doing, get off the computer. Go do the thing you were meaning to do. Yeah. Don't wait till you have to go to the bathroom. Do it now. And so this looks like it would serve kind of the same purpose.
Nice. There's more stuff too, but I'm catching up in real time. So should we move on to Metafilter?
Yeah, sure. I made a post yesterday. Just get that out of the way.
Do it.
But I am a huge fan. Have been of the work of Stan Brock, who was a guy who, if you are an old like myself, was on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom as like the barefoot assistant. Like he would always like ride a horse barefoot and you were always like, what is that guy's deal? And he's from New Zealand, I believe. And then he made a couple movies and then he dropped out of Hollywood and founded this program called Remote Area Medical that basically goes to places where people don't have access to health care, dental care, or vision care. And they set up these huge kind of mobile triage clinics for like 3 days using tons and tons of volunteers, like on airstrips and shit. And last year they offered free care to 40,000 people, and he just died yesterday. And so I just did a little obit post so that people could know who he was.
Nice. I did not know about that at all.
Yeah. No, fascinating. I found out about it, I think, because I was like doing some stuff on Wikipedia and I found his page, and I had been like, hey, somebody should put a picture on this page. And then when it got changed to say that he died, you get a little notification. And so I was like, oh, well. But people should know about Remote Area Medical because it's fascinating what they do. I mean, it's kind of like, what is it? Mountains behind mountains? Mountains over mountains? What's the Doctors Without Borders thing?
Yeah, mountains over mountains.
Well, no. Tracy Kidder wrote a book and okay. It had a name like that. Oh, for God's sakes.
Out of context, that was a, yeah.
You know, mountains, something.
Yeah, you know.
Over the mountains and beyond the mountains. Oh, for Christ's sake. Okay. And but it's like that, only it's done with volunteers in the United States. And one of the interesting things about it is there's only 12 states in the country where you can actually have volunteer medical people performing volunteer medicine. Like, it's actually against the law, like, in a lot of states to have somebody come into your state as a volunteer and be like, I'm a doctor, let me, you know, perform medicine. Because practicing medicine without a license is a thing you're not allowed to do.
Yeah, I see how that's a thing.
Well, and so one of the things that Remote Area Medical did was work to change the laws so that they could have volunteer people come in and, you know, go do their volunteer medicine or make, you know, they have machines that make eyeglasses for people, that kind of thing. So it was interesting. I learned a little bit about sort of the political environment in which he worked in addition to everything else. And he was just some dude who like slept on a mat in the corner of the office and walked around eating oatmeal and bananas, still barefoot into his 80s. Interesting dude.
Yeah. Well, the post I made this month, I didn't actually make because when I went to make it, someone else had already made it while I was on vacation. Never go on vacation. Everybody steals the good posts is what I learned from going on vacation.
You know, that happened to Boncliff, too. I don't know if you saw him on Twitter today complaining that somebody had taken his parachuting beaver thing. But talk about your own, please.
Yes. This is there's a guy who does circuit bending stuff, which is a kind of musical hardware discipline where you take things that have, integrated circuits and circuit boards and whatnot and that create sound. And then you do weird things to them to cause them to make sounds differently. Like the most straightforward conceptual version of circuit bending is to literally take like a circuit board and bend it. And as a result, you slightly break connections and slightly fuck up the chips. And then they just behave a little bit weird and get strange sounds out of things.
So this is that Deadmau5 guy.
Well, this is not that Deadmau5 guy. This is a guy who's like in the electronic music scene as Deadmau5. And,
a friend of Deadmau5.
Yeah. And he explains at the beginning of the video, basically, you know, somebody – maybe Deadmau5 tweeted, you know, something and said, hey, I found this electronic Bible. Someone should circuit bend this. And maybe Deadmau5 was like, oh, yeah, this Sam should do it. And then he's like, oh, well, fine. And then he did. And it's like an electronic Bible, an audio book, essentially.
Does Bible mean something different? I'm confused about the Bible part.
It's like an audiobook Bible on a microchip, essentially. It's a digital, you know, it's a... audible.com. It's a person reading the Bible stored on, an electronic device.
In a chip, not like just a file.
So I think the idea is you could like pull up the verse and chapter you want to listen to and then it would play back that, but like it's a whole bunch of audio from the Bible. And this guy just used that like it was, you know, the source of random audio noise and added a bunch of cool stuff to make it make weird, crazy noises. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I watch the video when you get a chance because it's...
I watched some of it and I'm completely confused. It looks like a man's hand making terrible noise.
Yes. By flipping switches and whatnot on something that in its basis is just sort of regurgitating some recorded reading of the Bible.
I get this is the kind of thing you like, and it's the kind of thing where I'm just sort of like kids today. I'm happy yep. the world has lots of different kinds of people.
Yep.
So that I don't have to appreciate this, but you totally can.
Yeah.
So wait, what happened? You went to make this post and David already done it?
I got home from the woods and I saw it on Twitter and I was like, oh, this is fucking great. And I went to post it and I was like, oh, nope, someone got there a week ago.
Well, so. I mean, that's the problem with getting your ideas from Twitter.
Well,
those people are already on the internet. Well, I get all my ideas from books.
See, that's so effortful, though.
It is super effortful.
Like setting aside the question of Twitter itself, because honestly, this is usually Mastodon or Malt Shop is my actual source for this
stuff. I don't want to hear about blah, blah, Mastodon.
Well, my point is I like getting stuff from sort of social media because as much as it has done a terrible amount of damage to the infrastructure of the old
websites,
there's still that's also kind of as a result where a lot of the people just saying, oh, hey, I found this weird thing are. And so I try and follow people who find weird things on Twitter and Mastodon and so on. And that way, there is a lot of stuff that's like, oh, you know, this would be perfect for Metafilter. And it just hasn't hit that because it didn't happen on someone else's feed. So fuck it. I'm going to post it. And I was like, yeah, with this one. But there's like, nope, this one got out there. Someone else found it too. So
someone else is already also on the thing.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of I don't know what I was speaking of exactly.
Speak on it.
Well, Malt Shop, actually.
Yes. Hey, have you figured out whether or not I partially own it? Because I still think I don't, but I should probably know at some point.
Oh, Jesus. I know. I have no idea. I guess we should figure that out at some point. Can you remind me when the weather gets a little worse that we can figure out what the ownership structure is? Because part of the problem is we don't have stock. You know, and so there's a whole bunch of people who theoretically own it, but they don't have any stock in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we'll
I don't know what that actually means in terms of ownership, but we probably should. And I have my lawyer, Danny Gumballs, has explained this to me, and it just doesn't stick. So, he lives in my town in Vermont. So when I'm spending more time in Vermont, I'll take him out for dinner and be like, look, I need to actually know what this means. Yeah, and you've got to do, you know, all of your sort of financial planning and what happens to Metafilter if you get hit by a bus.
And that'll remind me next time I need to talk to the accountant. There's that other thing that I should poke Jason about.
Oh, back to Malt Shop. I had a Malt Shop meetup with Ba, who is also a longtime Metafilter person. But basically, it's probably the first time somebody I really only knew – I didn't really know him on Metafilter. And I knew him through Malt Shop, and he was saying, oh, hey, I'm going to be coming through Massachusetts. I was like, oh, you need a place to stay? And he's like, actually, that would be totally awesome. And it turns out his sister lives really close to where my mom's empty house is. And so he stayed there. They went to Vermont. They stayed in my apartment there. They came to visit down in Westport. And I got to meet him. It was super fun. And his son and Jim was there. And there's an adorable picture. And it just, to me, a social network is only real when you go meet people from it in real life. I know other people have different definitions, you know.
Sure,
but I
get you on the feeling. Yeah,
that you actually, because to me, social networking is all about work stuff, but also making friends and people you can meet in real life and hang out with. And so this was just fun to know that somebody I know from the online community was cool and fun to hang out with in real life. Him and his kid brought s'mores fixins. And so I had my first s'more of the season, and then they left a huge box of blueberry Eggo waffles in the freezer, which are ruining my life because if you have them with melted marshmallows,
they're basically
the best food. But I'm like a grown-ass, not very active lady who needs to not eat Eggos every day.
Not go nuts on the marshmallow Eggos. You know,
fuck that guy. And
I spent all that time camping, and I didn't have one s'more.
Are you serious?
S'mores were had. I was never quite in the mood. I was drinking, it's camping.
I was
and we're
drinking.
Not going
I think that's where that sentence
exactly.
needs
I was,
to end.
I was, and specifically, I was drinking a lot of beer. It was like,
I'm
going to
get all my calories
accomplish.
From this grain beverage.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't really need extra carbs right now. I already have adult candy at the moment. So yeah, I'm fine.
Well, and that's one of the things my sister and I were talking about is we just mostly don't eat s'mores anymore just because it's a lot of empty calories we don't necessarily need. And if we're going to do that, we'll like go have like some kind of crazy dessert at the Portuguese restaurant nowadays. Like we haven't been out like chopping firewood all day or whatever the things are back when we used to camp. Like yeah. I don't camp that much anymore. Like I used to and now I mostly don't. But, you know, good to other people who do it. But as a result, I haven't been hiking all day. And so I'm not like, yes, I want to stuff my face with marshmallows all afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to, but I don't.
Yeah.
So let me sort out my things.
Well, let's see.
Okay. Here's a thing that I learned on Twitter that I came to post a Metafilter and found that it was already there. The what the fuck, Alberta? What happened to your rats? This is by Etrigan. And
what?
Have you seen this? This
no.
is so crazy. It was basically somebody was on Twitter looking at and Twinbrook 8 makes this comment as the second comment, looking at this picture, the link that I'm sending you, which is basically where the common rat is in the world. And the rat is
I saw this picture
everywhere.
Nothing else except Alberta.
Except for Alberta, and of course, everybody in this thread, which just, you know, RIP, this guy's mentions, are basically like, what the fuck, Alberta? And so it turns out there's this long article in the National Post which explains how, what happened. There's like a rat patrol in Alberta that keeps the rats out, basically. And the article's super interesting. It's pictures of the rat patrol with a rat, you know, these guys with guns who actually don't look menacing because they're like Canadian prairie farmers. But yeah, it was a really interesting thread. It's people from Canada and other places talking about how you deal with rat stuff. Other people just telling their rat stories, and it's, you know, Metafilter at its best, basically.
That is amazing. No, I saw that picture go by and I had assumed that like, oh, this is somebody joking about some bad data viz because of like a, you know, inconsistently in data presentation rather than literally the entire province fucked up rats. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I think I've told you this before, right? When like my sister and I spent time in London or actually just around Great Britain in general, we were kind of freaked out when we'd see foxes walking around during the day. Because around here, if you see a fox walking around during the day, it has rabies and run.
Oh.
But Great Britain has no rabies because they're an island and they can just get rid of it. And so the animals there don't have rabies. And I guess foxes have a different schedule in a world without rabies. I don't know that part.
They just wait to be like hunted by very posh people.
Yes.
It's like, well, no, there's no hunts today. I'm just going to go down to the bar, have a s'more. There's a jeez.
Well, Lobster Bitten put a note in this thread so that you would see it for the podcast, and I figured it was probably my job to bring it to your attention because I know you've been busy.
Oh man, yeah, no, there's no chance I was going to see an admin note last week.
So essentially, it's an article on The Cut, and I'll just read the title. Do men enter bathtubs on hands and knees so their balls hit the water last?
What?
Apparently, this was something that started on some mommy blog that, like, maybe, like, children did it or something. I mean, I think the answer ultimately is no.
I don't even know how to parse the question. Like, I can read this question in a couple ways, which is like, question,
does that work from a physical perspective even?
Well, I mean, like, I want to back up and say, do men enter bathtubs on hands and knees? Because
I don't think
they?
So.
I've never, why wouldn't you just, nah, you like, you sort of like go butt down.
You enter on feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm probably going to step into the tub and sort of like grab the sides with my hands and sort of like lower myself ass first into the water like a human being. How
right.
would you?
I don't know. I'm just saying there was this thread and Lobsterman thought you should see it. And then everybody, you know, somebody says butts LOL, that's Melismata. Heyo.
I'm liking these.
Albie Ampersand puts his balls in first. apparently. I mean, exactly. It's a great grab-ass thread, okay. Essentially.
I'll mark this one to come back to.
You should.
Because, gosh. You know what I often do? Like, I still kind of don't like to use favorites for reference too much because, like, that's not how I use them. So I don't want to, like, just like, oh, I should go look at this at some point, but I don't have a specific reason. I'll favorite it. And now I use my favorites to, like, bring stuff up for podcasts when I do use them for posts and whatnot. So I just add stuff to Activity now. And, like, I'll probably forget about this. And then, like, 2 days from now, someone will wander
back
in a week late to say, you know, balls and stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is that thread. Yeah, I should go read that thread. It
right.
Works out okay. On a similar front, this was before I actually went on vacation, but I think I was already distracted at this point. There was a post about using can openers the right or wrong way. This Griffith made a post, you know, have we been opening cans the wrong way our whole lives?
Oh,
I guess the implication is that you can use the can. I mean, I think the answer for me is yes, according to this, I'm doing it wrong, but, you know, it's the way that works. I saw this and I tried opening it the right way with my manual can opener and I couldn't get it to fucking work. So, like, no.
Is this a video or can I actually – this is like a Twitter.
Yeah, it's there's like a, you know, short Twitter video.
How short?
Yeah, I don't – like 30 seconds or something.
All right. I'm going to watch it while you talk.
Yeah. And the whole thing is like, you know, there's a couple ways you could orient a can opener on a can when opening it. And one of them
– there's literally only two.
Well, yeah. That's what a couple is. And so the video shows a guy like laying it down sideways and doing it and it just works. And, you know, I've seen this happen. And for that matter, I've seen electronic can openers work. And I think that's pretty much the orientation they use. But – I don't give a fuck.
What?
Like, I don't need to do that. It works fine the way I do it. I'm not, like, you know, giving away gifts in the used can, so I don't care if there's, like, a rim in the wrong place. I don't know. I just don't know. So I'm kind of pleased that it's there as this boggling point of contention. But
I
also,
am pleased at knowing this.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't feel like I need to change anything in my life as a result, but it's nice to be reminded that there may
well,
be some
well, and it's always fun watching
thing.
The internet be like, you're doing it wrong. Rrr.
Yes. Well, it's sometimes fun. It depends on which internet and what they're saying it about.
I don't work there, so it's always fun for me.
It's usually fun on Metafilter.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of, you know, shit that's always been wrong, women's pockets.
Oh, yeah. I saw that post go by.
Yeah, I mean, it was a mostly good post. There were definitely a couple kind of hardcore nerds there who were like, well, there's a reason for that. And I'm like, I don't give a shit what the reason is. Like, the point is, it's bullshit. And, or like, why don't you just get all your clothes tailored? But it was, you know, I always enjoy these kind of solidarity threads about, like, how bullshit you know, the pocket situation is. I guess you had to tell people to calm down, so maybe that wasn't a favorite.
I think that's why
yours.
I'm aware of it. Well, I don't know that I spent much time in it, but I think there was just like a some things came to a head or something. I don't know. I've forgotten already. So
yeah. See, well, that's, you know, what makes you good at Metafilter,
or just so tired,
or whatever. But like Jen Full Moon, like put together some articles about like women's clothing and pockets. And, you know, I mostly wear like men's clothing or like kind of ambisexual, like, you know, preppy clothes are a little bit more.
Sure.
They fit, you know, everybody. And I don't know if they're men's or women's clothes or not. So most of my shit has pockets. As a result, I'm always horrified when something doesn't because it's so clearly crazy. But at any rate, fun thread on Metafilter. It's still open if you want to go talk about pockets.
Get into it.
Pocket talking.
This just missed the mark for like last podcast. I think this must have been like the same day. But the post, Joe Zydeco made a post about the dogs or the dogs. The dogs from WeRentGoats.com. Which is
oh,
very
is
bad
that what happened?
Yeah,
I just knew the loose goat part of the story.
Yeah, some
sorry,
goats,
go on.
Some goats got out. Like, that's all you need to know. If that doesn't excite you,
who
just skip the post anyway.
Who let the goats out?
But some goats got the fuck out, and it was a fun thread. So, yes, go read about those goats. I did make
the best social media reactions.
I did make a post earlier this month of something that someone had not double posted on. and then Lobsterman deleted it because it was in fact a double post, and I just didn't search well enough. So that was a good time. But here's the actual post, which got made by Molak. It's about a skater named Matt Tomasello doing some skate
video.
Was this
those little skateboards that are cut in half?
Yeah.
I saw it when you put it up, I think.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Malt Shop, so... it's just weird, goofy skateboard bullshit, and I really enjoyed it. And again, there's not much else to say. Go watch some goofy, you know, skateboard bullshit. Speaking of mod notes, this was my favorite mod note I think I left this month. Was there was a post about the Church of Satan getting into some more religious liberty trolling against.
Oh, right.
But it turns out it's not the Church of Satan. It's a satanic temple. So I'd leave it.
Yeah, and somebody emailed us about that. So this is Dr. Nemo who made this post, who I happen to know because he's kind of a extended neighbor in Vermont. And then somebody emailed us, and I was like, oh, gosh, you have to – oh, wait, a companion cube. And I was like, you have to email the OP or whatever. And then I think that came back on your shift.
Yeah. I've got a couple other things here, and then I guess we can move on to the old greener pastures.
Well, I get it. No.
Good, because the ass metafilter is the green.
I use classic theme. Everything's white, clean.
Is it because of the snowy north of Vermont? You like to pretend everything's encased under ice at all times? Just like little hints of color peeking out through the frozen landscape?
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
So, I also like this thread because this is a website that's been up and down over the last, 15 years. But it's basically a website, pretty straightforward. It's called Does the Dog Die? And what it used to do is tell you if a pet gets abused or killed as part of a movie so that people who have problems with that kind of thing do not have to watch it. But it has evolved to basically covering all sorts of stuff that you might not want to see. Like, hey, does someone get misgendered? Does someone get burned alive? Does someone die by suicide? Does a kid die? Does a parent die? Are there spiders? Is there any tooth damage?
Yeah. I have a friend who would absolutely appreciate the is there eye mutilation aspect.
Over him.
I want to call something out here looking at this list of things. So like, there's a lot of does this specific thing happen? Does this specific thing happen? And then there's does someone fart or spit. And now, look, I can understand someone might be disinclined to see either farting or spitting, but I don't know that you can just lump them together like that. Like, spitting and farting seem like two very different things. They'd be treated differently in the language of cinema. Like, you can't just, like, show someone farting the way you show someone spitting unless you're being very, you know, flamboyantly, like, you know, slapstick about it. And I don't know.
Right. No, I'm there with you. It's like they're the only very different things.
Everything else is like, does this one thing happen? And it's like farting and spitting. You're just going to lump. I don't know.
Is Santa spoiled?
Well, I mean, he's living pretty high on the hog. Let's just...
But of course, somebody pops into the thread, you know, talking about like,
we could just like clip that out and append that to any discussion of a thread we want, and you know, plausibly,
your sheltered life kind of thing. Then other people were like, that's okay. Actually, I'm totally okay with non-rapey movie choices, but thanks.
Yep. Man, so I was reading Titan, Book Watch, Book Watch.
What's Titan?
Titan by John Varley was the first in a series of books that started with Titan, and then there was Wizard.
Come on, that's no information, literally no information.
Other people know
shit. What's it about?
It's about a ring world type thing that, spoiler alert, turns out to be kind of like a large, like self-contained organism. Like, it's not just like a...
Is it good? Would you recommend it?
It was good and sort
that
of like
is
a...
not a yes.
Well, here's the thing. I was having a real hard time getting through it. And, well, that's oversight. I was having a hard time feeling super enthusiastic about it, but it was like the book that I took camping.
Sure. I know how that is.
It, like, characters in it kept mentioning science fiction properties, which I was like, you better have a payoff for that because, like, otherwise you're just like, And it was really obsessed with, like, who wanted to fuck who. In a way that felt like, you know, never really got
like
paid
a young
off.
Male writer.
Maybe
conceit,
I mean,
like, well, a George R.R. Martin
sort of Martin actually blurbs on the back of the old copy we have.
Of course he does.
But it's interesting, and it's sort of like, you know, if you've read the Ringworld books, you know, it's another Ringworld, like it's its own thing. But like, you know, you have that sense of like you're exploring a large world of foreign alien architecture in space and people having adventures there. But like the character motivations felt kind of weird, and he did seem a little too interested in people's sex lives. And also sure. There's strange alien centaurs that have both human genitalia and also great big horse dicks, but they're actually great big human dicks.
I hate it already.
Yeah, I'm like, and so the whole thing I'm reading through is like, well, I don't get, and at the end there's sort of a big reveal that ties some of that stuff together. Like the science fiction stuff turns out to be because the entity that is and creates and runs the space station is like 3 million years old, and it has for the last few thousand years been monitoring human culture, and the last 100 or so like watching TV, and so like it's getting all its ideas from human TV. So it made these centaurs, but it was real proud of itself for coming up with a whole giant horse dick thing. And that was kind of like that was almost maybe the best explanation, is like, oh, the reason this is sort of like weird and inappropriate is it's some strange 3 million year old alien being saying, yeah, well, look what I came up with. It's like, oh, okay, well, maybe. But it's the whole thing, it was kind of strange, but it wasn't bad in the end. But I don't know. I have weird feelings.
So why did you start talking about this?
I don't remember. I seriously.
Sorry.
You have no idea. This cold is really doing a number on me. Oh, rape. That's why. Oh, that's a bummer. I realized that's what it was.
I'm so sorry, Josh.
There's just like a narratively, you know, linchpin rape late in the book. It's like, you know, you did not have to fucking have like, well, this is what the story needs now is violent rape. It's like, no, you could have found a way to do it. Like it could have, if nothing else, been downgraded to a frightening, you know, threat of sexual violence or something if you really sure. wanted to make that key to what was going on with our character.
Without making it rapey, yeah.
Yeah, instead it was like, you know, like stoic tactical toleration of a thing and then some almost murder later. And it's like, you know, I put my shoulder down and kept on going, and then you're like, hey, good job. Here's the boss.
Well, I recommend as an antidote to that, Josh, that you read this Long Way to a Small Angry Planet trilogy by Becky Chambers.
All right.
Which is a very affirming feminist, without being just kind of a women tale. You know, I mean, there's some things that are feminist because they're essentially all only about women. This is just a feminist philosophy with a wide range of, you know, male, female, and sort of agendered characters that is a really great kind of space romp. And I just finished – the reason I mentioned it is because I just finished the last book in the trilogy this morning and was nice. Like, that was really good. I felt good about that. Like, it's not like bad things don't happen, but there's just no gratuitous bullshit that you yeah. have to, like, question the motives of the author. Like, is the person writing this book just a weird creep? Yeah. You know what I mean? There's just yeah. not –
Why is it that these are the specific things that are happening in this narrative?
Yeah. So if you're interested, Becky Chambers, Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, the Wayfarer series. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. I will mention one more that I just enjoyed, a nice little thing. It's a music video that was linked by Nerdfish. It's a song about being a cow and fuck you, I'm a cow. And that's again, you know, it's good. Go watch it. It's the whole thing. The whole thing's got a super lo-fi video aesthetic and I appreciate it. And
nice. Yeah. Oh, you know what I was reading last night about that, the Angry Goose.
Untitled Goose Game?
Untitled Goose Game?
Yes.
It's like the first, like, is there a Metafilter post about it?
I have no idea.
Like the first kind of, like, dumb game thing where I was like, huh, I'd like to find a way that I can actually maybe play that. But I also wanted to mention last Metafilter post that I had was this post by Gudrun. How do you tell a thirsty elephant not to take a drink? Which is about the elephants that are in the DC Zoo and the water supply might be contaminated and they needed to figure out how to get the elephants the water they needed, but not the bad water that they didn't need. And it's a just kind of a long post explaining how it worked and what the zookeepers did, and on Torch, which is a Smithsonian publication. One of the things I really actually like about sort of increased panopticon social media stuff is that I can learn a lot more about how good zoos operate. Like, there's like zoo TV shows, which should come as a surprise to nobody, but it was a surprise to me because I don't watch a lot of TV, but my friends who have the TV watch Animal Planet stuff. And there's a whole bunch of, like, let's learn about the zoos. I mean, I think last month we looked at, like, tiny goat gets introduced to porcupine or whatever. But, like, all those little things, like zoos doing social media to talk about how the zoo works. Like, you know, I can just only imagine how much 10-year-old me would have lost her mind getting to have all this good information about zoos that was just kind of unavailable to us as kids. You know, when I was a kid, you'd have to read a book about a zoo.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment of. I was hoping I'd find a pun on the way to the end of that. Riches. I'm just gonna say riches. I'm gonna finish the idiom.
All right.
You want to talk about Ask Metafilter?
Wrap it up. Yes. I enjoyed Ask Metafilter very much this month, as I do every month. I may have actually been slightly more active in it this month than usual, but there was a music video post about like iconic music videos, like what are definitive music videos of the last decade, which I enjoyed because I got to look at some videos I haven't seen and see some old videos that I hadn't seen in a while. And then, so that was by Cult URL Bias, who's a user I don't remember having really seen a lot from before. And then Storyboard, I had posted a couple like funny videos that I liked. Storyboard was like, oh my god, I love those. I want to go see more of those. And I was like, you should post an Ask Metafilter thread. And so they did. And there's a great comedy music video thread, which has just wonderful things in it. So if you like iconic music videos of the last 10 years, or if you like comedy music videos, that kind of thing is good. And this didn't happen in this thread, but I've noticed in some other, like, help me find music videos threads, there's a user. Now I'm trying to figure out what the user's name is, see if I see them, and there's a user who's, like, been going around being like, hey, I put these all in a playlist. Enjoy! Like, just, you know, just for fun. Like, just to be helpful.
Nice.
And so it's cool if you look at some of the Ask Metafilter threads that put together a whole bunch of music videos, that's theoretically a way to do that.
That is clever.
It is clever.
I'm for it.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoyed this thing I came across yesterday just on sort of principle, and also it got me playing a stupid clicker game, so I deeply resent it. But
oh no, not the clicker game!
If I Only Had a Penguin asked, hey, you know, I play this
game. Oh, this was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, just like last night. Said, hey, I play the shark game. It's this clicker game. And after you get a whole lot of things, it stops giving you actual numbers and just says you have lots of it. So, you know, I have lots of everything, and I also am gaining lots of things per second. But
right,
I want to know what the actual numbers are.
It won't give you a number.
Yeah, so I want to know what the numbers are. How do I get these? Which is essentially comes down to, like, how do I poke around in the JavaScript console for this game? And they got some good leads. Axiom and Demiurge popped in to say, oh, hey, here's a couple places you can look. And this is a neat thing, actually. This is true about, like, every, like, you know, goofy JavaScript game running in a browser, and things that aren't games for that matter, but games are an obvious place, is, like, you can just pop open the developer console in your browser and start poking around to try and figure out what's going on in various, you know, variables in the program. So if you want to find out an answer to something like this, you can go look. So there's no actual resolution yet in the thread, but basically Axiom and Demiurge gave them enough to work with to start poking around and probably produce an actual answer. And so I'm excited to see if I Only Had a Penguin ends up getting like a hard, okay, here's, I found these variables, and it turns out it's this many bazillions is how many I have.
Right,
but
right,
either
right.
way, like, the general thing is nice, and also it's a slightly amusing little shark game. So I don't think I'm going to get sucked into it. Like,
that you've been clicking around.
A little bit last night. Just doing it offhand while actually playing another game last night. I was like, pop over, buy some more shark stuff, buy crabs, go to another ocean universe. So, okay, I'm on board. So that was nice. I like that.
I enjoyed this Scrabble question, which was by Rebent, which was kind of a combination of like, we play Scrabble using this one dictionary, but we're only allowed to use those words. But then there's some words that aren't in there. How could we use a more official dictionary? Also, by the way, tell me about some house rules you have for what isn't allowed in your Scrabble game, which is still open. So people should go and talk about it because there's like very not that many 14 comments, I guess. It's like it's not 14 comments, 14 favorites. And so people point out like this is the dictionary. But then people talk about some of their specific rules, like, you know, if you can play JOZXYQK, that's legal and you get like 100 points or you win the game or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, are you allowed to play dirty words or not? What if your dictionary has them or doesn't have them? You know, there's a whole bunch of drama within the Scrabble community about, you know, slurs. You know, some dictionaries have them and some don't. So at any rate, it was fun to hang out with my Scrabble nerds and just talk about Scrabble a little bit.
Yeah, I have on occasion tried to play for, like, you know, explain yourself Scrabble, where like you can play anything as long as you can make a compelling argument that is
in fact a word.
But like that tends to break down pretty quickly, it feels like.
I mean, Jim and I have been playing so long with the same dictionary, and it's very interesting that like our techniques are kind of different, and he will just literally like he runs out of time because he's trying like every combination of letters to see if it's a word, like because we allow we allow that in our house rules, you know, we don't play with challenges, whereas I have a lot more time, but I mostly go with words that I know. So, you know, if he plays a word and I'm like, what the fuck, that is not what, he has to like tell me what it means, and theoretically we're learning something. I don't know if we're learning something, but theoretically we are learning something. What's it called? Like big, bigger, biggest? Like when you have something that's the most of something?
Quantifiers. Quantifiers?
Magnet something? Yeah. All right, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
There are two that I thought were interesting. How do you convey the largest possible number with conventional symbols by the Phlegmatic King, which is a really good user. But basically, I like it because the below the fold thing starts out, this is dumb and weird, but... And they basically were like, using regular numbers and regular symbols, what is the biggest number you can make? And it was interesting. I learned some things, you know, doing logs and a whole bunch of other stuff. I didn't totally understand it. And no, best, worst, most unusual? Shit. Okay. And then this other one by Grouse just the other day. What is the oldest entity still referred primarily to as the new something? So, like, there's a new forest.
Oh,
and the new forest
know,
was named
by.
The new forest,
yeah.
You know, a long time ago. And new college. Are there older ones?
Comparatives, by the way. I think comparatives is the thing
we're
looking for.
Oh, God. Thank you. So, you know, people are talking about the New Testament. Naples technically means new, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a fun, smart thread. And I enjoyed it. And, you know, it was fun, of course. So those two kind of went together as a pair for me.
Yeah. I see Lobster Mitten mentioning... in the biggest number of stuff using up arrows. And I feel like I know about up arrow notation, but I also kind of say, yeah, that's not common. Like I guess common versus conventional.
Like two up three, you mean? Like yeah. Would be two times two, but that's not normal.
Well, not that, not carrot. Like I would say carrot, like two carrot two would be two to the two. Power,
right. So I'm not sure.
So
I'm
arrows,
not sure I know what you're talking about.
I'll link to the individual comment. There's a comment from.
Well,
Cruel
I'm in
Fool.
The thread.
Okay.
So.
Well, look at the comment from Cruel Fool. I'll just link to the new thing that they're linking to, just for reference.
Noose up arrow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
cool
it's its own thing. It's not just a power thing. Yeah.
Not
that,
real.
That's not. I don't think it's conventional enough. Like among mathematicians,
I mean, cool,
it's
though.
Certainly like known, but. So yeah, I think powers of powers is probably the way to go. But
it's interesting. It's a great nerdy question, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a great nerdy tech question. Primitive recursion. See also Busy Beaver. I think I will. Designing a halting binary alphabet Turing machine which writes the most ones on the tape. Oh, for fuck's sake. How did I start doing this? And let's see. Couple other fun, like, nerd question. That thing where there's not enough baggers for all the lines at the checkout, but, like, your cashier is ringing up your groceries? Are you supposed to bag your own groceries? Good question by Bleep. Variety of answers. Interesting conversation. A lot of people kind of default to, like, hey, is it okay if I bag my own groceries? Which is kind of funny that you'd have to ask for a thing that appears to be baked into how the supermarket works, but apparently is baked into how the supermarket works. But I appreciated it because I never know the answer to that question, so I'm always wondering.
Yeah.
And then a technical one from Dances with Light, which is like those fucking pop-ups about the newsletter. How do I make them go away?
Oh, yeah.
Answer, you can't, but you can a little bit. WCity Mike came up with a Firefox plugin that gives you a keyboard shortcut to making them go away.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this very, very late follow-up. Cashman in 2009 posted Das Metafilter saying, hey, what's this music? There's this thing I saw played on a like Raiders versus Redskins game. I can't find the song. What is it? And someone said, oh, man, well, here's a guess, but I don't have much. And then they said, wow, this one's been sitting around a long time, like 2 weeks after it had been posted. And then, like, 9 years later, I see Mashcan posting on Malt Shop saying, oh, hey, I found an answer to this old question I asked. I was like, you know, I can post that on Ask Me for you. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So I did. So
hey!
9 years later, there's an answer, and it came from the person who asked the question in the first place. And
we were just talking about Cashman the other day because Jim didn't know that Mashcan on Malt Shop was Cashman on Metafilter.
Yeah.
Which I guess I could understand.
I mean, they are different names, so, you know.
They have different user icons, I guess.
I mean, it's, you know.
They're so clearly the same person to me, yeah. But, like, Jim doesn't, he doesn't have that kind of continuity of people because he's not, you know, he's plugged into the Mephites he knows, but he really isn't plugged into the ones he doesn't know.
Sure, yeah.
So it was this big revelation for him. What? Like, yes, Cashman and Mashcan are the same dude. I also truly loved this mask, por favor, mask. Oh, mask queso. What the shit? I never knew. I thought this was like masks, por favor, like give me a mask, please.
Yeah.
But it's no, it's more cheese, please.
Yes.
Mask queso. At any rate, I enjoyed the question. I need to know everything about state, county, regional fairs, anecdote, data, history, all of it. I need it. And so it's just people talking about state fairs. And nice. They're like, what kind of stuff do you want, really? And then the OP follows up, all of it, please. And so, you know, different people talk about what their fairs are like. People give them movies to watch. People talk about stories about going to their own. Monkey Toes is in there talking about stuff. Nosy Mrs. Rat, Belladonna. Got a whole bunch of like rural me. Got a whole bunch of like rural me fights talking about the joy that is, you know, state, county, and local fairs.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just a very life-affirming. It's got one tag, fair. I'm going to add another tag, fairs.
Do it. Use your
county fair, state fair. Anything else from you?
No, I think that is it. I did not study up for music, so I don't have anything to toss out there at the moment. But hey, go listen to music. It's good.
I've been in fanfare. I've watched a couple. I don't know if I had done this by last podcast. I don't think so. Like, I've watched a couple, like, late blockbuster movies. Like, I watched the Avengers movie, and I saw Deadpool 2, and I just finished watching, I don't know, something, just, like, at home. And so it's been really fun to, like, go into, like, 400 and 500 comment fanfare threads just to kind of see what other people have, like, thought about the thing that I, you know, just watched and actually maybe don't entirely know what to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I very much enjoyed that, and hopefully I can do the same with Black Klansman. Mostly I'm just reading along with Elementary at the moment.
Nice. I should go look up books. I just read the first book of the Expanse series, which I've been watching the TV show and enjoying it.
Nice. I remember you told me about the Expanse series. Yeah. Are the books good?
I really enjoyed the first one. So I assume the rest will also be good and I'll probably read them. But it's interesting because like you can really, really see how the book got to the TV show. And
yeah.
they definitely did a pretty good job of like keeping the plot more or less there, which is not surprising. Is your computer currently rocking?
That was my phone telling me I had a phone call from Palo Alto, which is impossible. So
yeah.
I am telling it not to.
It's a good policy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm like one of those people who answers my phone for the most part, but you know, it just rings and I got the same robot trying to talk to me all the time.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of dumb bullshit calls and I get very few actual calls. So it's a little bit tricky, but most of the people I get actual calls for are in my phone as contact. So it's not a problem. If it's an unknown number, it's just like, I'm literally not going to answer it, buddy. Sorry. Unless it's something like when you had said, hey, you know, I put you down as a reference, like, you know, for a couple of weeks, I was like, oh, I'll pick up random numbers. Sure. But, otherwise I have to have a reason. Otherwise, fuck it.
Is that what happened? Did you give me a bad reference at GitHub?
No, I never heard from him. I was disappointed. Like I when PB went to work for Oregon State a while back, you know, he was like, hey, I put down a reference. And I said, okay, cool. And so, and that was exactly one of those, I don't know this number, but PB mentioned a thing, so I'll answer my phone. And it turned out to be guy at OSU.
People leave messages anyhow, you know.
Yeah, it probably would have been fine. But you know, it was fun to take that call because basically I gotta say like, oh yeah, no, he's really fantastic, and you would be an absolute fool not to hire him. And,
right?
You know,
don't like, be a dummy.
Yeah,
get
and the
this
guy's
guy
like,
immediately.
Well, and you know, the guy's asking like reasonable, sort of like, well, okay, now, but why did he leave the company? Like, well, he worked here 10 years and like he did a lot of work, and then he was ready for a change. So you know, and it's like, well, would you hire him back? I was like, well, yeah, but like you know. He's
but he
doesn't
want to work
here.
He wants a different job.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, it was interesting to be in a position to be able to like be genuinely and straightforwardly super enthusiastic and like seriously listen to me. I am the person you called. You are doing the right thing by hiring this person. You know, so I was hoping to be able to like you know lay that on someone else for you as well. But no dice.
I've been doing a little consulting for Glitch. They're going to hire a community health engineer, and I've been helping them sort of craft that. Job thing, and I may be helping him with some other stuff too.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I think I told you I pinged Daniil right when I found out I got fired at Glitch and was like, at GitHub and was like, I don't know what happened here. Do you know this guy? Maybe you can give me some advice. He's like, nah, I don't. I'll ask around. Do you need some work? Because I could really use some help with. And I was like, oh, great. Well, that was easy. And it took a while to sort of get it together, but like, yeah, it's been fun. They're a fun place to interact with. Everybody is really happy to work there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I want to spend some time with Glitch sometime. I just have never carved out.
You know,
out the...
I don't have a project for it, and so it's been a little challenging for me, and I think it's just kind of like one level too hard for me, which is probably a level I can surmount. I just need to really be, you know, not too sweaty and a whole bunch of other things, because I am really interested in the project. And as a company, they're really trying to do some pretty interesting things. They want to be a cool platform that kids can use. They want to really keep the Nazis and, like, you know, just general shitheads out from the get-go on, like, a policy level. And it's interesting watching them, you know, figure out and try to do that. So it was really fun talking to them about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I think I've emptied the tank. I think it's a podcast. Let's.
Do you want to hold a little space for a music minute post hoc or not even fuck music?
We'll see. You know, if it happens, it happens. But let's assume not, and I'll just come at it with energy next month.
That sounds good.
A fully functioning brain, and
sounds good. Get some rest.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I think I'll try and like take a nap. Maybe I'll nap. That's the thing.
It sounds like
a
great. That's what Jim's doing right now. I just got a whole mess of little texts. Like, I'm going to sleep.
You got a head start on me. Damn it.
Well, I mean, it is East Coast, so.
True. It's late. Yeah, I guess I'm still jet lagged, too. That's probably not helping anything.
Oh, of course you are.
Anyway, yes, let's say it's a podcast. We podcasted.
I think it's a podcast. It was great talking to you, as it always is. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing this.
Okie dokie.
Listening to it in my automobile and maybe being able to hear both of our voices.
Yeah. I'll give myself a little goose. I'll give myself an extra little, I've got a cold goose. I've got a cold goose. Goodbye, everybody.